I give you glory. And I give you honor for those that have ears to hear, Lord. When a person has ears to hear, Lord, then their heart is ready to receive your word. So I give you praise, O God. I give you praise. I give you glory. And I give you honor, Jesus. For you're worthy and you're holy. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody was asking me today before church a lot of questions, and it's funny, the very things that they were asking me, some of the things that I was going to talk to you about today. One thing I guarantee you, I'll give you a good word. If you have ears to hear, if you really want to change, and if you really want to encounter Jesus, and if you listen, I'll teach you correctly, and the Holy Ghost will lead me and guide me, and you will hear the truth. If you really want to change tonight, if your heart, and I don't preach long. I don't like preaching long. I don't like keeping you here bored. But if you want change in your life, if you want help with your everyday struggles, I'm here today to help you. Not to judge you, but to absolutely, positively help you with any issue that you might have from A to Z. I don't care what your issue is. And when I mean I don't care what it is. I don't care what your lusts are or what you struggle with. That's between you and God. I'm here to help you. Whatever it may be that you go through, I'm here to help you. Because I'm being helped too by the Holy Spirit. And I'm just here to help you. I don't care what it is. Well, Brother Homer, you don't know. It doesn't matter. Like I said, nothing surprises me anymore. So it doesn't matter. I don't care what your struggle is. When I say I don't care, not that I don't care about you, is what I'm saying is there's nothing to God too big or too small that my God can't fix through the Holy Spirit. So if you want change, even where you're at in God, whether it's at a low point, a midpoint, you're up here, you're seeking Him, wherever you're at in Him, I can offer you help through the Holy Spirit. I promise you I can offer you help through the Holy Spirit. I promise you that. That's what we're here for. To prepare you for the work of the ministry. To help you with your everyday life. To help you with your everyday journey with God Almighty. If you have ears to hear, then this word is for you. If you have ears to hear. That's why one Christian makes it and another one doesn't. Because one Christian has ears to hear. In other words, his heart is ripe, it's ready to receive God's word. A Christian that hears God's word and goes right back into the world, they didn't have ears to hear. The condition of the heart, their heart, they weren't receptive to it. They really didn't want to change. And I think I've changed my disposition on things that I've said in the past. A person that doesn't let go of a certain stronghold in their life is because they just don't hate it enough. They entertain it because they love it somewhat. But I'm here to offer you help through meditation and through the Holy Spirit on our day-to-day walk with Christ in our strong points, in our strong areas, and our weaknesses. We all have weaknesses, me included, as you have weaknesses. I may be stronger in some areas than you are. There may be some areas that you're stronger than me. Together we can co-labor and help each other. So I'm just going to share something with you. I've been going through Galatians, Ephesians, and Colossians. I've been going through certain chapters there over and over again. You know, you can read God's word so much that it talks to you in your dreams. And the very things that you read, the verses that you read, they come up to you in your dreams. And when you're walking through life in situations and circumstances, the very word that you read, the download in your soul, it comes up. And that's a good thing. That's what we want. We want it so alive in us that it talks to us, that it talks to me. Whenever there's a situation at hand, I want this to be abundance in me. When that situation arises, I want my backup switch or my backup lighter, my backup battery to immediately kick in when situations arise. And I want this word to speak to me. But it ain't going to speak to you unless you deposit it inside of you. I'm telling you right now, it'll speak to you. That verse, it that so entertained you, that verse that so ministered to you, that verse that so made you cry, that verse that so convicted you, that verse that you've put in hour after hour, minute after minute, day after day, week after week, month after month. Eventually it's going to come up and it's going to speak to you because it's downloaded in your thought process. That's what we want. I don't want to be a typical Christian, and this is true. The church, the norm in the church, the corporate church, the norm in the church is I'm going to quote to you a Bible verse. I'm going to give you the impression that I'm okay, knowing there's things in my life that I'm struggling with. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I don't want to give you a presentation that I am somewhere that I'm not. I want to, when I quote that Bible verse to you, I want to know that on a day-to-day basis, I'm doing something to get rid of my greatest enemy, and that's myself. We're so used to sound impressive. We're so used to quoting Bible verses, meanwhile, we're not dealing with ourselves. Jesus needs disciples, people that are disciplined followers, people that want to get rid of themselves. And that's what we're here for. We want to get rid of our ugliness. We want to know how to handle that ugliness, how to mortify it, how not to. That's what we want to learn. I don't want to preach. I don't want to preach God's word out of this, my mind. I want God's word to be abundance in me. And out of lifestyle, I want to preach God's word to you. Out of abundant living of this word in my heart, that's how I want to preach it. I don't want to live my life preaching this word, knowing that there's not change in my life through the Holy Spirit. I don't want it. I'll quit. I'll resign today. If I can't read this word enough until it changes me, then I have no business reading it. I don't want to read it till I memorize it. I want to read it till it memorizes me, till I absolutely walk according to what I read. That's what I want. The most effective preacher, teacher, man or woman of God in the world is not one that preaches, but one that lives before he preaches. Because people see fruit. They don't hear it. Fruit doesn't talk. Fruit does not have a voice. Love does not have a voice. Mercy does not have a voice. Righteousness does not have a voice. It can be seen by others. And when people hear, when they see what we do, then they say, my God, I want what that person has. We've sounded too good and too pretty for 2,000 years. It's going to change within us. It starts within us. So bear with me, please, here. I'm going to read something to you. Out of Colossians, I won't keep you long, I promise. And again, through the laws of meditation, we're going to break something very simple down. Very simple. Simple to you because you're going to get it all of a sudden. It took me years to break this kind of stuff down. So you got it made, man. It's Colossians 3:1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, how many of you are born again in here? Know that Christ lives in your heart. Okay, then this verse is talking to me and you. If you then, Tasha, were raised with Christ, seek those things, Alex, which are above. Now, being a teacher of the word, and I can preach it so I can get emotional and preach to you and jump pews and do split. Well, I can't do a split, but I can teach it and preach. I can get you excited. I can get you really excited. But today I feel the teacher. Now, I'm here to help you as he helps me. I'm here to help you also on how the Holy Ghost helps me through praying in the Spirit and through reading the word. As he helps me overcome me, I'm going to help you overcome you how he helps me. You with me? So I'm right there between Alex and Tasha. I'm sitting right there preaching to myself. He says, if you then were raised with Christ, if you're born again, seek those things which are above. So what do you think after reading that I'm going to try to establish? He says, if then you were raised with Christ, Homer, seek those things which are above. What, as a teacher, am I going to try to establish according to what I just read? Think about it now. I just read something. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. What am I going to try to find out what that means? I'm going to try to find out what? What things that are above that I need to what? Seek, right? He said, Homer, seek those things which are above. Okay. If he's telling me to seek those things which are above, then somewhere down the road, somewhere down that chapter before or after, is what's what? It's what's exactly right. He's going to tell me to seek those things that are above. So now I got to find out what's above, right? Okay, here we go. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things what? Above, and not on things on the earth. So I'm going to have to establish through the writings of Paul what things he wants me to seek that are above. And then I'm going to have to establish, set your minds on things above and not on things on the earth. So I'm going to look for here. I'm going to look for the things that are above and on the things that are on the earth and below. I'm going to try to get rid of them. So now I got to establish in this text what's above and what's on the earth. You with me? Set your mind, Alex, on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm not going to go into that now. I know exactly what it means, but I'm not going to go into that right now. You died, meaning, Tasha, the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you said, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You were born with a sin nature. The moment you said that in sincerity, you were born again. You were born again. If I was born again, that means I was born once before I came out of my mother's womb. But I was born again. I was born of a spiritual DNA. That means there was death and life took place all by one confession. That means the sin man that I had in me was put to death. I died with Christ. The things that used to torment me, the things that used to be my daddy, all came out of that sinful nature that I had. When I said, Jesus, you are the Son of the living God, immediately that man, that sinful nature, was put to death immediately. It might not always feel like he was put to death, but he was put to death. And something else happened, that sinful nature was put to death, but then I was born again. My spirit was lit. Now I had the conscience, I had a godly conscience living in my spirit. I went from spiritual death to spiritual life. I went from unrighteousness to righteousness. I went from a sinner to a saint. I died with Christ. That sinful man that I had dominated me, that told me that drugging and doing whatever I did, there was no conviction in my life because there was something inside of me that dispensed sin. Homer, it's okay to drink. It's okay to snort cocaine. That was living inside of me. My flesh was dominated by the lust that I have, and my spirit was dominated by the lust that I had. I had no hope. I had no hope. When I sinned, it didn't bother me because I had a sin nature living inside of me. Then I heard about this man named Jesus Christ. And immediately that sin nature that I had inside of me, I said, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Immediately that sin nature was put to death. The passions that were in that simple nature were put to death. The lust that lived in that simple nature was put to death. I died with Christ spiritually, not physically. I died with him. And I became a brand new creature. I was born from above. The spiritual DNA of Jesus Christ now lived inside of me. Now I knew right from wrong. Now I knew that I could no longer hear that junk that I used to hear. I knew that I could no longer look at certain things that I used to look at. I knew I couldn't steal anymore. I knew that now because I had a godly conscience living inside of me. No longer did that demonic, dark conscience live inside of me. It was put to death. Now something new was living inside of me. That was that. I'm going to leave it at that right now. He said, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Where Christ, our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the what? Earth. He said, put to death, mortify. This is New King James. Mortify your members which are on the earth. What did he tell us to do in verse 1? Or verse 2, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. So now he says in verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. So now we're fixing to find out what things he wants me and you not to do that are on the earth. Listen to what he says. He said, wherefore, when we're put to death, mortify your members which are on the earth. Listen to what he said. Fornication, which is sexual sin. Uncleanness. I don't have time to break all these down. Uncleanness. Passions. Evil desires. Covetousness, which is idolatry. He said, you're born again now. He said, you've died and your life is risen with Christ. He said, therefore, according to what I just stated, he said, Homer, put to death your members which are on the earth, the very thing that he told me not to set my mind on. He said, put to death your members which are on the earth. And he listed the things that are on the earth that I'm not to pursue. He said, fornication, sexual sin, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6, because of these things, the things he just listed in verse 5, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. This is what he said. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. Before you came to Christ, the very things that he told me and you to put to death are the very things that we did that didn't faze us. Now that we're born again, we've died to the things that he's listed, things upon the earth. We've died to these. He said, put them. Well, if I've died to them, then why is he asking me to put them to death? Think about it. He said, Homer, you've died to these lusts. You've died to fornication. You've died to adultery. It sounds like a contradiction. You've died to them. But now I'm telling you, mortify them. Put them to death. Well, you said that I died to them. You said the place in me that issued these things is put to death. Why are you telling me now, after my simple passion or my simple man is put to death? Why are you asking me now, Jesus? Why are you asking me now, Paul, not to walk in them? He said, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, evil covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. Verse 8. I'm going to go back to this next week. That's not what I want to teach you. He said, but now you yourselves are to put off, as born again believers, but now you yourself, now Homer, you yourself are to put off all of these: anger. Now you, Homer, now you, Alex, now you, Barbara, now you yourselves, you that are born again, this context is for you. This verse is for you. But now that you're born again, Renee, now that you're born again, Elijah, this verse is for you. But now you yourselves are to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. The part of me that crunk out sin, the part of me was my old sinful nature. I said yes to Jesus Christ, and I died to the things that he's asking me not to do. Positionally, I died to him. But how many of you know, and I'm going to raise my hand, since I've been born again, I've looked at other women before? How many of you else in here? Now, don't raise your hand, so that won't have to. How many of you, and you know, guys, we always get the blame for looking at girls, but you know what, ladies? You look at guys too. Think about it now. But guys, we always get the blame for everything, but girls be looking too. Y'all be looking at guys in them Levi's. I know it. It's true. But the Bible says that I was set free from these lusts. It says I was set free from them, Sandy. But sometimes it don't feel like we're set free, does it? Because the very things that he asked me not to do, there still seems to be a desire inside of me and you to do the things that we're told, what? Not to do. This is what he's saying. Before you were born again, you didn't have a chance. Your soul was so filled with junk, of all the junk that you put in throughout the years. It's still downloaded there. Your spirit, your whole body from A to Z was downloaded with junk. Your spirit man, your spiritually dead nature, it instructed you to sin, and we did it because everything in you from here to the soles of your feet wanted to sin. When you get, you say yes to this man named Jesus Christ, and now something changes inside of you. You're born again, you're born of God. See, you're born again, spirit will tell you yay, or it'll tell you nay. Don't do it, do it. But there's still a fight within us, isn't there, Sandy? There's a fight within us to do those things that we're told not to do. So the majority or the consensus or of the church goes with what they what? With they what? They go with what they feel. So they think that in essence, there's no hope. See, the moment you get born again, right from wrong is deposited in you, instructing me and you what's proper and what's not proper. It didn't say that all the leftover residue in you would immediately go away. Although we do feel like doing wrong, we still have power over it just because we're born again. The very fact that you said yes to Jesus, a godly conscience was deposited inside of you. You have the power to say no to that. To anything from A to Z, you got the power inside of you to say no to the things of this world, to the things of this earth. You got that power. Well, then what's the problem? We don't always feel like doing what's right. So if we don't feel like doing what's right, Tasha, we usually what? Don't do what's right, because we're dominated by our soul. So then we develop this teaching or this doctrine within us that maybe I can't escape this. Maybe this is the way I'm going to be for the rest of my life. I'm born again. I know it's wrong, but I'm so consumed by this thing. It seems to not ever want to go away. So I might as well do it to fulfill that desire in my flesh. That is what the church believes. They might not preach it, but their lifestyle says different. The church, not this church, or I'm just the corporate church, the church in general goes with what they feel, even if they know deep down inside that it's wrong. Why? Because they're so dominated by what they feel. So, got no kids in here, do we? That's why. And my heart is clean on this. That's why when a young man or young woman feel the need to do something wrong, that feeling is so strong, even if they know it's wrong, the desire to do what's wrong outweighs a desire to do what's right. So they usually give in, or I've usually given in, to the stronger desire. When I first got born again, I cried because of stuff that I had in my life. I felt like the person that I'm teaching and talking to you about tonight. I felt so dominated. I saw it in every other Christian. This must be it. I'm still a sinner. No. The day I gave my life to Jesus, I was set free, whether I felt like it or not. Not because my pastor said I was, because this book said I was. So what's the problem? Well, I'm here to help you in your weakness because he helps me in my, you know what my biggest weakness is? I'm going to share it with you. I don't care. I got a very short fuse. My wife can tell me, my son, my boys can tell me, I got a short fuse and I get angry quick. And I don't like being around a lot of people. Now, just because I feel like that doesn't mean that that's right. The very things that I feel are the very things that the Holy Ghost is telling me to put off. He said, that's the part of you from the earth, Homer, that I want you to shake, son. But I still want to hang on to it. Mine isn't, and I can say this with a clean heart, it isn't fornication. I've been with the same woman for 20-something years, never touched another woman. The first few years, it was hard. The last 15, 18 years, it's even my wife and my kids are my best friend. I don't desire to go around town. We stayed yesterday and watched Bacon in Paradise, watching Bacon all day long on TV. Talking about we just ate dinner. We want to talk about what we're going to eat for breakfast. We have a good time. But I just shared with you my weakness. And I could easily tell you that's just the way I am. Yes, that's right. That is the way I am. But that's not the way that God would have me to be. The very weakness that I have is God telling me, Homer, what you have, the thing that you're seeking, or the thing that you're doing, is an earthly thing, son. Seek those things which are above. Well, what's above? The thing that you struggle with here on earth. You don't have to tell me, I'm not a priest. That's your business. Me, I want to be real with you. I want to be real with you. I want to show you that I'm a man with faults in my life, but I tell you what, the more and more I stay consistent in this, them faults are diminishing. So then we've established that I'm halfway there. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to judge. I'm here to help you. So we've established that we've died with Christ. Tasha, we're born again. The very things that used to dominate us, according to the word of God, they don't dominate us anymore. But at the same time, we feel like they do dominate us, right? So I'm here to help you with the things that are dominating you. I'm here to give you hope with the feelings. Let me rephrase. Actually, they don't dominate you. You just feel they dominate you because those things are stored up in your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotion. I'm here to help you overcome those things that you feel dominate you because according to God's word, they can't dominate you because you have been born again. You just feel that they dominate. So in essence, to an extent, we're calling God a, if God says they don't dominate you and we feel they dominate us, then we're making God a what? A liar. He says, they don't dominate you, Mercedes. Renee, those things that you used to do, they don't dominate you no more. Why, Jesus? Because I've been born again. But Lord, I can't shake it. No, you can't shake it because sometimes you don't want to shake it. So what do you do in the meantime? What do you do? Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off, listen to this, put off all these. Give me one, hold on. Y'all don't fall down here. Listen to what he's talking to, a born again believer. Listen to this. But now you that are born again, but now you yourselves are to put off these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. What would you call this right here? I don't know what it's called. What is it? Just a who? Okay, we'll call it a blanket. How do you say it in Creole? As you say, this is a ah. So those, this is okay. This is a ah in Creole and a blanket in English. Okay, a dura who? Oh, that's a ka. Yeah, that right there. This is a blanket or an ah in Creole. Okay. And he works for me too. Can you imagine that? How you say blanket? How you say blanket, mami? Una cobija. Cobija a blanket. Okay? God, Alex, man, I brag about you all the time, son. But now you yourselves that are born again, listen to what he says. He's given us the remedy. He's given us the instruction on how to handle those things that have been put to death in our life, but that we still feel like we got to do them. Listen to what he says. But now, you yourself, Homer, Meme, Rosie, Pastor Bronk, Alex, anybody in here, but now you yourself are to put off all these things. Anger. I know him real good. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Ain't that amazing? The Bible says if you're born again, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So the old man was the old simple nature. What did he bring to the table? According to what I just read. What did the old man that lived inside of us, what did he bring to the table? Okay, classroom. This is what he, yes. This, you're exactly right. Go ahead. This is what the old man brought to the table. This is what he brought to the table. Our sinful nature, before we got saved, he brought anger to the table. He brought wrath to the table. He brought malice to the table. He brought blasphemy, filthy language, lying. He brought all that to the table. But the old man that brought that to the table has been put to death. But me and you established that we still feel like getting mad sometimes. We still feel like cussing. We still feel like drinking. We still feel like fornicating. Then if I'm born again and I feel dominated by these things, what do I do? There must be help, Jesus. What do I do? You might not like the answer as of right now. You might not like the answer that I tell you. You ain't going to like the answer, because you're going to have to grit your teeth and step on your belt real tight for the time being until mortification comes. This is what he says. And I'm talking to myself. Guys, I'm talking to nobody. None of you are in my mind right now. But now you yourselves are to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Put off these things. Put off the things that seem to want to dominate you. Let's say this is anger. Read them again, sweetheart. Read them to me. That these are the things that we're supposed to put off. Read them to me. And what else? And forgiving one another. He says, put it off. Put it off. The writer said, put it off. He said, put off anger. Put off malice. Put it off. What do you mean, Paul? Put it off. You want to know what he means? Anger. Put it off. Malice, unforgiveness, put it off. He says, don't do it. Put it off. He didn't ask you if you felt like putting it off to put it off. He said, put it off. See, that's the thing. We do what we feel we have to do. There's times I got a lot of respect for Alex the other day. He did something that he didn't even know, and it blessed me. A lady walked into our office, a Spanish lady, flat out racist as can be. No, the black guy stole it, is what she told me. The negrito, the little black guy, stole it. Yeah. Not the first of Mexicans, you know. There have been a Mexicans have been real racist towards black people. I mean, Alex has been a part of it at work a lot. The negrito, he took it. The black guy, he took it. I know he did, because he's black. He laughed. He didn't defend himself. Didn't even get smart with a lady. He laughed. In that moment, Alex put nothing off because he wasn't angry. He didn't have malice. He didn't put it off. On the contrary, he what? Put something on. He put something on. What did he put on? He put on. I gotta bend over now, get this thing here. He put on love. He put it on. He obeyed the new man that lived inside of him. He put on love and a smile. Anger didn't faze him. He was put off. He operated according to the new man that was in him. This is the thing. We're not always going to feel like doing the correct thing. We're not always going to feel like doing the righteous thing. We're not always going to feel like doing what's right from the instruction that comes out of our heart. But it's not an excuse just because you don't feel like doing what's right. Paul said, just do it. Put on integrity. Put on abstinence. Put on peace. Put on love. Put on mercy. Put on forgiveness. And this is the thing, it looks like you're up against two things that you got to put on and put off. No, because if you put on, then you actually put off. But if you put something, if you didn't put on the fruits of the Spirit, then you put on anger. Matter, you're not up against two. If you put on what's right, then you put off what's bad. You with me? So I put on love. In essence, without putting off anger, I actually put off anger because I put on love. You're not up against two. If you do one, you're going to fulfill the other or disannul it, one of the two. Paul said, if you're born again and you've died with Christ, even the things that you feel dominate you, you still got something inside of you that says, no, don't do it. Even if you're dominated by the very thing you don't want to do, you still got the power to say no to the things that are of the earth. And do those things that are above, which is love, my friend. You put on and you put off. I told my son today, and I respect him because he's honest with me. I said, son, and I'm not going to go into his response. I said, why don't you want nothing to do with God? I used to get mad. Listen to this. You talk about being double-minded. I used to get mad and sarcastic with my kids because they didn't want to pray. What's the difference? How come you don't want to pray and seek Jesus and be holy like me? I hope you got what I'm saying. I can't make my kids serve Jesus. But I can pray for them every night and see to their salvation. I can't get mad at them because they don't get up and worship God. I can't get mad at them. I want to be known the day that I die. I want Priscilla. I'm going by age, Priscilla, Julissa, Quentin, Elijah, Jordan, my niece is in there, Nathaniel, David. I want them, when I die, and they do my funeral and they're talking, all my kids crying, oh, my dad's gone. I want them to stand at the podium. And I want them to remember me as a godly man. Now I've tarnished my image throughout the years. But I want them to remember me as, man, my dad. He just wouldn't get mad at nothing. He always put on Jesus. They can't say that right now because I got issues, but I'm telling you, these books are helping me. I dream in every situation. When I deal with somebody the last 2 weeks, I've gone over that so much. All I hear is put on, put off. Honest to God, I don't dig deep in my reservoir where God's word is stored. I don't look for it, Pastor. It's starting to come out. That's when it's abundant in you. I don't want to go digging at every situation. I want through what I put in to come out on its own because it's overflowing in me. All I hear with my son today, I took him outside. All I heard when I pulled him outside within my soul, put on, put off, put on love, put off anger, put on forgiveness, put off malice. That is how we are to live, my friends. Now, those things, some things I still do forcefully. I still do because I have to, not really wanting to do them. The good news is that's still a form of righteousness when you put it on and when you put it off, even when you don't feel like it. When I say put on, I'm basically saying do what's right. What I'm saying put off is don't do what's wrong. But there's our whole Christian life, and I'm almost done. Our whole Christian life doesn't have to be like that. Because there's this person named the Holy Spirit. That the very thing that dominates me, that the very thing that dominates you, he comes and he dwells inside of my spirit. And he offers a prayer up through me that gets rid of the very thing that tries to dominate my feeling. See, I don't have to be 10 years where I am today. If I give myself over to God's word, if I give myself over to the Holy Spirit, the things that seem to want to dominate you, the feelings that seem to want to dominate you, the feelings that seem to want to dominate me, they're not going to go away and hide for a season. They're going to be eradicated. They're going to be put to death. They'll eventually, if I keep on, their strong, stinging, powerful feeling in my soul that seems to want to dominate me, slowly but surely, that feeling that dominates my soul, it goes away. If you choose to activate the Holy Spirit through your prayer language, you don't always have to be, and I can say this, you don't always have to have lust dominate you. It can go away. You don't have to always have anger dominate you. Listen to me, it can go away. Not a Band-Aid on it. It can go away. If you renew your thought process, if you renew your soul, your mind, your intellect, your emotion, if you renew that with God's word and you pray in the Spirit and you allow the Holy Ghost to edify, exhort, and comfort you, the things that used to dominate you today will not dominate you tomorrow if you got the guts to sit down in that chair, open up your Bible, and pray in the Spirit as consistent as you can. You do not have to be dominated by the things of this earth. And you will set your things, your mind on things of above. You'll set your heart and your mind on love, on mercy, on forgiveness, on peace, meekness, love, joy. The biggest lie, the biggest misconception in our Christian walk is that it's hard. No, it's not. It's hard. If you don't sit down and seek Jesus, it's almost an impossibility. But if you sit down and you renew your thought process with God's word, how much should I read? If you want to read 5 minutes, you're going to get 5 minutes worth. Well, time doesn't matter. Okay. I ain't reading 5 minutes with my anger problem. I'm going to read about 3 hours with my anger problem. Well, I just gave it to God and I did my 6 minutes. Fine. And there's nothing, I'm being sarcastic, but I'm not. I read the first two verses of, I read my psalm for the day. But you still remain the same tomorrow. I counseled somebody today for 10 minutes. I'm proud of myself. You didn't give me a choice. You didn't leave. Never have I counseled somebody for 10 minutes. Sandy went in there. I said, Sandy, I'm reading. It's okay. She sat down anyway. At times I got to be, and I'm about done. At times I have to be compassionate with people. But see, I get a little dogmatic within myself because I know what I overcame. And my mindset is, if I overcame it, Mr. Lazy and Mrs. Lazy, you can overcome it. So my counsel most of the time is, well, Homer, I got this issue. Stop. Time out. Stop. Time out. See, Alex says, Homer, you and Pastor Bronk, you always give me the same counsel. He says, yours is about a minute. Pastor Bronk takes 30 minutes, and he's more loving than you are. I know. I ain't trying to tell you that. You give me the same exact counsel. If you give it to me in a minute, Pastor Bronk talks in 30. He's just a little nicer than you. I know that. I've been trying to say that forever. But my mindset is, if my perverted, nasty, mean, ugly behind can overcome it, so can you. But I got to present it with a little bit more grace and love. And Sandy walked in today. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, Sandy, you got to be quick now. In other words, I'm reading, get out. No, she sat down. She sat down and didn't leave. But what did y'all talk about? It was a good conversation. And I gave counsel for about 10 minutes. I should have recorded it, put it on YouTube. Because usually my counsel is, Homer, I got to talk to you. I'm having issues. Are you praying? No, problem solved. Go pray. Had a problem with this person? Forgive. I don't feel like it. Found your problem. Forgive. The Holy Ghost says to me and you, put on or put off. He didn't ask me to put on the things from above if I felt like it. He asked me to put on love. He asked me to put on mercy in every situation. I told my son today, son, I'm tired. And I've gotten better. I mean, you know what I was going to say. I want to walk at peace through every situation. Why? Because Jesus did. I want to put on the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness. In every application of the day, every trial and every tribulation, we're called to put on the things that are above, not the things that are below, the hatred, the strife, the unforgiveness, bitterness. We've died to those things. We've died to those lusts. He says, Homer, Delma, put on. Put on the things that are above. Put on love. You know, when Paul wrote those epistles, he said in Galatians, I believe, I am an ambassador of Christ. The man that wrote this, I might be paraphrasing. The man that wrote these epistles said, I am an ambassador of Christ in what? Did he say change, Pastor? Listen to this. The guy was in prison, in chains. And he tells me to put on Christ. If God Almighty, through the Holy Ghost, trusted this man so much to allow his writings to be part of the canon of the scripture, a man in prison, in chains, in bondage for the gospel of Jesus Christ in human dung, according to history, up to human dung, up to his waist, is telling me to rejoice in the Lord. He's telling me, as a prisoner in chains, because he's preaching Jesus, he said, me, a prisoner of God, a prisoner of the Lord, of the gospel, in chains, I'm telling you to put on love. If Paul is instructed me to put on love here in Immokalee, that means he put on love in prison. Do I have an excuse? Do you have an excuse? Put it on. Put it on. Put on what, Jesus? Put on the fruits of the Spirit. Put on love, son. Let me read this to you. And I'm done. For real, though. Time for a new Bible. Listen to this. Same subject. Therefore, as the elect of God, you know what made me the elect of God? Being born again. He's talking to me and you still. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy. Listen to this. I'm almost done, I promise. Therefore, according to what I said in the first 11 verses prior, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Here's the one that I don't like. Put on kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also. He's telling me and you tonight, church. Paul, the man in prison, put on kindness. Do it, is what he's saying. Just do it. Put on kindness. Put on mercy. Extend the blood of Jesus towards your brother. Because in putting on love, in putting on kindness and gentleness, I'm putting off the deeds of the old man that was crucified. Let me break it down to you in modern day terminology. As a very proud Hispanic that I am, he's telling me, or telling, you know what your struggle is. He's telling you today, put it off and put on. Put it off. Put it on. Put on. Put off. Put on. Do. Don't do, basically. Put on. Do. Put off. Don't do. That's what he's asking of me and you today. This man wrote this in prison. He wrote it in prison. The man that was beheaded by Nero, martyred, tortured, whipped. 5 times he received the mark of the Jews. 5 times he received 39 lashes in his back. 5 times. Was stoned to death. Not that kind of stone. Stoned with stones. Stoned to death. Shipwrecked, hungry, in fastings, cared for the church. Yet he tells me in prison, after being stoned to death, many believe he died and the brothers raised him from the dead. He's telling me and you tonight, before I close, to put on Jesus Christ. In prison, friends. He was in prison for doing the things that he's asking me and you to do. Even in prison, even in trial, even in tribulation, he did the very things that he's asking me and you to do. He would not recant on his confession that Jesus Christ was Lord. Put on, Renee. Put on love, Renee. Elijah, put off anger. Homer, put off anger. But put on love. See, you died to anger, Homer. Just because you feel you have to do it, doesn't mean you have to. That's what he's asking of me and you today. Is it always going to be that kind of struggle? No. What do? You start tonight. Colossians chapter 3 is an excellent place to read when it comes to putting on and putting off. Read it. Not till it's here, but till it talks to you. Let it talk to you. Let it become real to you. I'm going to read it once. You want to read it once? That's good. It ain't going to talk too much to you tonight if you read it once. You won't even get an echo. You want it to talk to you? I'm stubborn. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read it and read it and read it and read it and read it till it talks to me. When it starts talking to me, then I read it some more. If it ain't talking to you, then it's not abundance in you yet. Let it talk to you, man. So my wife makes eggs tonight and she burns them. I got to put on. If Elijah don't want to lift weights tonight, and I've been told to put on love. If Quentin gets home 5 minutes late, I got to put on love. If my niece Jordan don't want to go work at Burger King, I got to put on love. No matter what the situation is from A to Z, we're called to put on love. See, sometimes as parents, we think we have every right to yell at our kids. The best advice I ever heard is I got to treat my kids and what happens in their life so that God treats you. I want my kids to remember me as a godly man. No matter what I did, my dad always gave me hope. No matter what I said or the bad things that I did, my dad, he never gave up on me. You know why I'll never give up on you? You know why I'll never give up on you? Because my dad, my heavenly father, has never given up on me. Not even slightly, remotely close to giving up on me. On the contrary, he gives me his Holy Spirit to change from within. He gives me his word to renew my thought process. You want to do 5 minutes worth tonight? God bless you. Amen. But if you really detest yourself, if you really want to get over yourself, cut off the phone, go outside by a tree, and go to work, baby. Go to work on yourself. Go to work on yourself. How? By doing the things that we are taught in this church. The doctrine of the apostles. I want to be able to write to my boys, to Priscilla. Well, she's not a boy, she's a girl. She's got 4 kids. That wouldn't make her a boy. I want to be able, and I'm just speaking, and I'm done for real in 5 minutes. I ain't lying. I cross my heart. I got a big heart. I want to be able. I want my kids one day to see so much of Jesus in me like I see Jesus in the Apostle Paul. Whatever my future may hold, whatever lies ahead in this perverted, dark society, I want Priscilla, Julissa, Jordan, Quentin, Elijah, Nathaniel, David. I want them all to remember me like I remember Paul. Because if they remember me like I remember Paul, they'll remember Jesus. When it's all said and done, it's all about bringing him glory, isn't it? Not by what we say, but by the fruits of the Spirit that we walk in. And my friends, fruit does not talk. Fruit is seen. It's seen. It's visible. So before I leave you tonight, put on what's right and put off what's wrong. When you put on what's right, you've put off what's wrong. When you put on what's right, when you put on what's wrong, you have put on what's right. You don't have to worry about doing them both. Just do one and it cancels out the other. If I do what's right, I cancel what's wrong. If I do what's wrong, then I cancel what's right. Dig deep inside, man. I don't feel like doing it. I don't feel like saying it, but I'm not going to do it. And once you cross that hurdle, the second time it faces you, read the Bible for another 2 or 3 days straight, it's going to be easier and easier to say no to that damnable thing. But you got to be, to an extent in the beginning, you got to be like a pit bull. And then, after a while, the thing that used to dominate you, where you at? You got to go on to the next issue in your life. I'm here to help you, my friends. I'm here to help you overcome your greatest adversary, yourself. If the devil had as much power as he thinks he has, or if he has as much power as the church gives him credit for, then we'd all be dead. He's a punk, and his mama dresses him funny. And he has no dominion over me. If you're born again, he has no dominion over you. You just feel like he has dominion over you. So what do? We got to get rid of the feeling that we have. How? Through the Holy Spirit. And my next step, and I've been pondering it a lot lately, and I'm done in 1 minute. The next thing I know I have to do. Who cussed? Amen. Who's cussing in church? Amen. And it's been my wife cussed. Maybe if I'm going fast, you're going to fast with me. I know that's next. Yeah. I know that's coming. I've been pondering it, thinking about it for a month. I haven't thought about it in 10 years, but I've been thinking about it for a month. And I know it's coming. That's a big step. Non-thinking to thinking. 10-year lapse of thinking in a month. It's coming. Don't be a Christian that's content with quoting a Bible verse with junk in your life. Or let me rephrase. Don't let the Bible verse hide the junk in your life. We're all going to have stuff in our life, and we're all going to love the scriptures. But don't be content with being tormented by your flesh. Don't be content by being tormented by the things of this world. Our Savior is powerful. We're to stand strong in the power of God and the power of His might. There's nothing in the world that can stop me and you but ourselves. I've said it before, I'll say it again. God, come with me on this journey, man. Come with me on this journey. Come with me on this journey. Come with me. Come with me on this journey. Let's put on and put off. Come with me on this journey, demonstrating the ways of the kingdom of heaven. Come with me. Come with me. Don't be mad at God no more. There's people in here mad at God because of things that have happened. You're mad at God. Why, God, why? Well, I blame preachers for the way that you think. Friends, my God is holy, just. My God is love. I can honestly say before God, when my mama passed away, a few years ago, not one time did I ever look up into heaven. Not one time, even when people told me at the church that, well, she was just carrying her cross for Jesus. I wanted to punch somebody when they said that, but I held back. I put on. I put on love. But not one time did I look up into heaven, because I knew enough through the Holy Ghost, I knew enough through this word that my God had nothing to do with the death of my mama. Nothing. On the contrary, if Jesus would have been here, he would have gone through that. And Renee was there when my mama was real sick. He would have just gone through that wall. He would have laid his hands on my mama. And she would have rose from her infirmity. My God is never the author of death in our family's life. Not the God that I serve. I know my son's lost his mom and dad early in his life. He lost two, but he got two. My niece lost my sister. But I'm here to tell you, friends, that Jesus Christ can bring a healing in that area that you didn't even think existed. Just turn yourself over to him. What I would do to see my mama just one more time. What I would do to just see my sister just one more time. Your loved ones are with you, man. Spend time with them. Respect your mama. Respect your dad they're here with. What I would do just to see my mama's big chubby face just one more time. Jesus is worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all praise. Bow your heads with me, please. So, Father, we bless you. We thank you for truth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we celebrate who you are. Tonight, when we go home, we celebrate who you are. We renew our thought process by your word and by your precious Holy Spirit. So right now, Lord, we ask you for nothing. But we choose tonight to just come up, just to lift up our hands, Lord, and regardless of what we're in, regardless of what state we're in, we're just going to stand up or sit or however we want. Lord, we're going to stand up tonight and give you an everlasting praise because you, Lord, are our true baptism. So, Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor in Jesus' name. So if that's you tonight, my friends, you just want to come up and worship God before we go home, just come on up with me. Let's give him some praise tonight. Raise it up, Oralia.